The test is in four parts, part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. Now look at part 1.
Part 1.
You are going to listen to a telephone conversation between a caller and a call center operator. As you listen, complete the numbered spaces in the identification form in the book. First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 5. You should answer the questions as you listen, because you will not hear the recording a second time. Listen carefully and answer questions 1 to 5.
Platinum Card Service, Rebecca speaking. How may I help you?
I've got a few problems with my credit card account.
OK. What is your credit card number?
Let's see. It's here somewhere. Ah, here it is.
Can I just take the card number, please?
Yes, it's 6992.
6992.
3443.
3443.
1147.
1147.
8921.
8921. Right. Can I just check that? 6992. 3443. 1147. 8921.
That's it.
And your name?
Carlos da Silva.
I just need to check a few details for identification and security, if you'll bear with me.
That's okay.
And what's your postcode?
SE18PB.
SE18PB.
That's it.
Vauxhall Close, London?
Yes, that's right.
And the house number?
43.
And can you give me your date of birth?
13th of the 7th, 63.
And one further check, if I may. Can you give me your mother's maiden name?
Yes, it's Moore.
Is that M-O-O-R-E?
Yes, that's it.
Before the caller and operator continue their telephone conversation, look at questions 6 to 10. Now listen to the next part of the conversation and answer questions 6 to 10. For these questions, there are three alternatives, A, B and C. Decide which alternative is the most suitable answer and circle the correct letter.
Yes. Now, can we get on with this?
Yes, sir, certainly. I'm sure you'll appreciate that all these checks are necessary for security reasons. So, what exactly is the problem?
Problems.
OK.
Well, first, your computer seems to have gone mad. I sent you £500, and on the statement for the account, it shows that I only paid £300.
Yes. The account does only show £300 was paid.
Well, I paid the £500 in at the bank, and I have my receipt, and my bank statement shows that £500 has been taken from my account.
Oh, I see. What I'll do is check with the bank and see what they say.
OK.
You said there was something else?
Yes, as if that wasn't enough. My account shows that £107.27 was paid to a company called Pan Express. I don't know who this is.
Let's have a look. Well, it is genuine.
I can assure you it's not mine.
It was made on the evening of the 12th of May. Maybe it's a restaurant bill you forgot about?
There's no way that... Oh, wait, hold on.
Yes.
Oh, it's okay. I've just realised what it is. It is a restaurant bill. The name of the company is different from the name of the restaurant. My mistake. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Was there anything else?
I don't know if I dare.
What is it, anyway?
The amount of interest seems to have gone up.
If you look at your statement for April, you'll see that the rate went down from 16.27% to 14.99% that month.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Was that everything?
Yes, basically it is.
OK.
And can you check my payment?
Oh, yes, I'll do it. Can I phone you back?
I'll be at home for the next 2 hours. I have to leave at 11.
Right. What's your number?
020-7989-7182.
Hold on. 020-7979?
No, it's 7989 and then 7182.
So it's 020-7989-7182.
Yes, that's it.
OK, I'll phone you straight back.
Thanks. Bye.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part two.
Part two.
Government's waste strategy, yes.
First, look at questions 11 to 14. Listen carefully.
Good afternoon, Dr. Dartford speaking.
Good afternoon, Dr. Dartford. It's Miranda Smith here.
Oh, hello, Miranda. How can I help you?
I'm really sorry, but I couldn't come to your lecture on the government's waste strategy yesterday because I was feeling ill. My essay has to be handed in 2 weeks' time, and I'm worried I might have missed something important. I really don't like it when I miss lectures, especially when I need the information for an essay.
Well, try not to worry. You can't help being sick. How about if I give you a quick summary of the main points?
That'd be great, thanks. Just let me get a pen. Right, I'm ready.
To begin with, I stressed the importance of us reusing and recycling waste in the future. I made particular reference to the UK, which at the moment only recycles about 8% of household waste. The levels of industrial and commercial waste are much higher. It's frightening how much waste factories produce on a daily basis. But that's not all. The fact is that not only is this rate of recycling well below government targets, but it's at a much lower rate than many other European countries, which means Britain is just not keeping pace with the rate of growth in household waste.
That's pretty worrying, isn't it?
It certainly is. What is more, we need to understand that if we are to achieve a more rational and sustainable use of our resources in this country, then we have to develop a fundamental change in the way we think about waste.
That won't be easy. What suggestions did you propose?
Just give me a second. Let me check my notes. Okay, got it. Basically, there are a couple of ways this could be achieved. One of these is for more household waste to be separated.
You mean separated into things like newspapers, tins, and stuff like that?
Yes, that's the idea. Then this separated waste would obviously need different forms of collection by local councils, but most importantly, it will require an expansion in the market for collected materials, which is one of the major barriers to increased recycling. New government targets have also been set for recycling or composting 30% of household waste by 2010.
But that's almost a fourfold increase, isn't it?
It is indeed. Rather a frightening figure, whichever way you look at it.
Before the broadcast continues, look at questions 15 to 20. You will now listen to the second part of the talk.
As you say, it's a fourfold increase, but my guess is it won't stop there. You must remember the previous government found that setting targets is one thing, but if the practical policies are not in place, nothing will happen.
So what is the government planning to do about all this waste?
Well, apparently they're going to publish a final strategy setting out a range of policies to start and sustain the necessary changes. But the interesting part for me was that it's not only up to the government. To say we need more recycling is a simple message, but, and here is the crux of the matter, there's another one that isn't getting enough attention.
Really? What's that?
It's quite obvious, really. It's us, the general public. We have to reduce the amount of waste we make. It's our responsibility. Did you know that every hour enough waste is produced to fill the Sydney Opera House, and the rate is increasing?
Actually, now you mention it, I remember reading somewhere that the reason for all this waste is our increasing wealth and the changes to our lifestyles. I guess it's quite obvious when you really think about it. I mean, it's things like shops and supermarkets selling more prepackaged foods and ready-made meals.
Convenience is the key. People simply want their lives to be more convenient. And there's also technological change that brings pressure to make people change their domestic appliances for newer models.
I never thought about that, but you're right. And I'm just as guilty. I threw out my old stereo so I could have a better model, even though there wasn't really anything wrong with the old one.
You see, you're a classic example that changing our present throwaway culture is going to be an enormous challenge. At the end of the day, consumers will have an important role to play. It could all boil down to their choices and their willingness to support recycling by sorting their waste and accepting more recycled products.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear a student called Sarah talking to her college tutor about some research she has to do as part of her course. First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 27. Now listen and answer questions 21 to 27.
Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
So, you want to talk about your research project?
That's right. I want to find out how many people use the Tourist Information Office and what they think of the service they get.
Interesting. Have you written your proposal yet?
No, that's what I wanted to ask you about. What should I include? Someone said I should make a list of my aims first.
Well, I don't know about a list. A statement of aims is the correct term. It's just a quick summary of what you hope to get out of the project.
OK. And should I include other documents I've prepared, like the questionnaire? I'm still working on that.
I can check that later, but I think it's good to prepare an information sheet for participants. It would help you to think about interview methods. It'd be good to see that soon.
Oh, right. And I want the project to have statistical data, not just to be a collection of opinions.
That's good. So that should be clear from the proposal too.
Great. So what else must I include in the proposal? Or are some things optional?
OK. Some things that people normally put in a research proposal don't really apply to you, like any costs involved. That can be really important in some research projects, but as we don't have a budget, it's not something you need to include. Any costs have to come out of your own pocket, I'm afraid.
Yes, I understand that.
But I do need to know your criteria for choosing who to interview. I've got to check that you're using good sampling principles, for example.
Sure. And what about the way I'm going to analyse my findings?
That's not essential at the proposal stage on this project, but if you've got some ideas, include them, because it could save time later.
OK. And do I need to make it clear how the report will be organised?
Oh, I'm going to be giving you a template to use, so there's no need to go into that in the proposal.
Great, thanks.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 28 to 30. Now listen and answer questions 28 to 30.
Actually, another thing we could discuss now is making sound recordings of interviews.
Oh, right. Do I have to record them all? I could try to get as many as possible, but it'd be rather expensive.
Yes, don't worry. You only need a few chosen randomly just to give an idea of how the interviews are going. You can send one in each time you update me on your progress.
OK. How often should I do that? I haven't done a timetable for the interviews yet, but they'll be spread over 3 or 4 weeks, with about 200 in total. I reckon on doing 20 a day.
Let me know how you're getting on at the end of each day's interviewing then, whether you've had any problems or not. It can be a lonely job.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
And what about the confidentiality of participants? Because that can cause problems.
Well, I'm getting them to sign a consent form. It says that I'll only use the information for my research, that I won't pass it on to anyone else. But that's the only promise I'm making. They have to give me their names and agree to their data being stored on the college computer network.
That sounds good. You won't put names in your report, I know, and the data will all get deleted at the end of the year, but we don't promise any of that.
Sure.
That is the end of part 3.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part four.
Part four.
You are going to hear a talk about security in the UK. Listen to the talk and complete the statements below.
First, you have some time to look at questions 31 to 40. Now, listen carefully and answer questions 31 to 40.
In large cities, for instance, London, and crowded places such as airports and stations, there is the risk of theft. We do not want you to suffer the distress of losing important documents and valuables as soon as you step onto British soil. So here are some important do's and don'ts. Don't carry more cash than you need for daily expenses. If you stay at a hotel, do ask the manager to keep large sums of cash, documents and valuables in the hotel safe and give you a receipt for them. This is a free service. If cash is stolen, it is very unlikely to be recovered. Do keep separately a note of the serial numbers on your traveller's checks, so if they are lost, you can inform your bank. Do take particular care of bank and credit cards. Do carry wallets and purses in an inside pocket or a handbag. Don't ever leave a bag unattended and make sure it is securely fastened when you are carrying it. Do carry jewellery and valuables such as cameras, radios and typewriters on you or with you and keep a note of any serial numbers. Do take special care of your passport, travel tickets and other important documents. Documents are at risk, particularly at airports and stations, where it is obvious that most people will be carrying them. Do make a note and keep it in a safe place of the number of your passport, its date and place of issue. This makes replacement easier if you are unlucky enough to lose it. If you don't want to carry heavy luggage around with you, you can leave it in a luggage office at most large stations and pick it up later. Keep the receipt so that you can reclaim your luggage. Check the opening hours or you may find your luggage locked away when you need it again. If you lose any of your luggage in transit, take this up immediately with the officials of the airline or shipping line. But don't worry too much. 98% is found within 3 days. If you lose anything, go first to the lost property office at the airport or station, as it may have been found and handed in. If you lose your luggage in the street, or suspect it has been stolen rather than gone astray, find the nearest policeman who will advise you what to do.
That is the end of part four.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.